see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program. Bible study for tonight, and welcome. We are going to complete tonight, you may not complete it. Depends how far we get. We're going to move on into the part of creation. I'm going to do a refresher. And what we talked about Friday. And then we're going to talk about the creation and the creation of man. And I'm going to touch a lot of areas that there's some misconceptions. And here we go again, put out by the Christian identity cultic groups. It is increasing exponentially, the memberships and the belief system of the Christian identity. They don't realize they're being hoodooed massively by very skilled, knowledgeable, pseudo-theologians, well-trained, charismatic, and they're deviating on the scriptures, and especially the racist issue is based on the creation of how they're distorting the truth and the Word of God. And it's pulling people in. And what they don't realize when you talk to them, it's like you're talking to someone that's been complete mind control. And they don't realize it. There's a curse that goes along with it. Something, I'm not being sensational here about it. I'm telling you, there's a curse because it's false theology. It's grounded into a Luciferian order, and these people do not understand it. That's getting involved in it. The ones above, oh, they do. Based on secret societies, Freemasonry, designed to separate and divide in order to bring people together. Order out of chaos. Create a division in order to bring people together. You see, it's called a Hegelian dialectic. That's what Satan uses. Literally. That's what he uses. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And then we're going to get started. And I'll start first by a refresher from last time when I get going here. And you'll turn to Genesis 1 and 2 because I want to explain something in Genesis 1 and 2 that the Christian identity folks are at the highest level are corrupting by design. Level folks, man, are getting sucked into it like a vacuum cleaner. A Hoover, to be exact. Lord, we pray tonight. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together once again for this Bible study. Lord, we call upon you to forgive us of our sins. We lay them upon the cross. Lord, we announce those sins to you. And Father, we know through our acknowledgement of these sins that, Lord, you'll forgive us. And Father, you'll guide us in a way that our thoughts of committing these sins again will diminish. Lord, we thank you for the conviction you give us, the chastisement, the tribulations, the trials that, Lord, it makes us stronger. We pray for our family members, Lord, that when they come around us and that, Father, the opportunities will come up about divine appointments and we'll be able to spread the gospel to them. But keep us humble, Lord, and meek before you that, Lord, we will spread that true word and give us the words to speak if we find ourselves not able to, that, Lord, you'll open up our hearts and our thoughts. Protect us from the outside, that we'll deliver the truth to those seeking the truth. We pray for our country and our country's leaders, that, Lord, that out of those that we pray for, that, Lord, that you'll find whistleblowers, those that's going to speak out against the Illuminati, against the secret societies, against the plans that they have, to pray against them. Father, we pray for a re-spiritualization of the church, Lord, that goes along with the Bible, the King James Bible, that, Lord, we pray that we'll go back to the old ways, the ways of the scriptures are literal, that, Lord, to put down, to expose the emerging church for what it really is. And to give courage, Lord, to bring courage to those preachers and those rabbis or priests that are not preaching the true word of God, that, Father, you'll give them courage to step away from their religion, step away from their controls of the government, that 501c3 churches, all these, that to preach to the Masons, to preach to those that's taken the blood oath, to preach to those parishioners inside their congregations or synagogues or cathedrals, that, Lord, they're preaching the truth to have a conversion. And Lord, we call upon you to spread your true word, your Holy Spirit around us, as we continue to be prepared for that day that's yet to come. That's why, Father, we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, tonight is going to be, you know, a little difficult. Because it's a little complicated to simplify the Greek word. But I'm going to do the best I can. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word says, and we were created. God's existed, always existed, not the universe. God created the universe from nothing. He speaks by His power, molecules, particles, photons, that He also created to put together. Call it Legos on steroids. He speaks, it moves. When Jesus Christ spoke to the storm, when they were on the waters with the disciples floating around, and Jesus took a stroll out on the water. Oh, yeah. And the storm kicked up, and also in that time frame, Jesus spoke and the storm subsided. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man that he speaks and the storm answers his commands? He was God incarnated, human flesh, right there, it tells you. He speaks, nature listens by His power. See, God has more dimensions than we can even fathom. We can't even begin. I mean, it lacks wisdom for us to even think we can fathom the dimensions that God has. Satan has no clue about the dimensions of God. Although Satan has dimensions we don't have. Well, do the math on that there, scientists, Harvard professors, and whatever else y'all claim out there, and those scientists and four-star generals and whatever, and you don't have a clue. You have a clue about secular humanism, about secret societies and saying the right handshake, doing the right handshake, or saying the blood oaths, and where you're going to put troops and all that. That's nothing compared to supernatural. You have no idea. Those of you that do know the supernatural, that through the King James Bible, you have an idea. But either way, we don't have dimensional capacity to understand it, even with the Bible. So we try to make sense out of it with what we're given. And there are certain things in the Bible you're not going to be told. Because like when God told Daniel to shut up his book, He knew that the things that Daniel was going to describe would not be understood at the time, even for the humans then. But an earthworm don't have the dimensional capacity of a monkey. A monkey doesn't have the dimensional capacity of a human being. A dimension, that's the extreme examples, but that's how it works. About a dimensional capacity. Satan and the fallen angels, for example, that's masquerading as aliens or ascended masters or whatever they're coming to mankind about. What before they were what? Before they were angels in the 18th century, Saint Germain, El Moria. Oh yeah. Ascended masters of the New Age movement. Before that, days of Greece in its height, they were called mythological gods. It was not mythology at all. And the hybrid animals will now do them doing it today. Well, back then, the fallen angels didn't have technology, but they had knowledge of manipulation of DNA of animals. They can't create. They recreate what's already created by manipulation of DNA. By alchemy. Now you see. Science. The arts. Things that we don't have any need for. They say that God is science. That's the New Age response. They get all huffy about it. No, Lucifer is science. And I've got the evidence. God created science, but he doesn't. It's not for us to know. We were here. We were sitting here. Excuse me. We were created only to worship God, to fellowship with each other, and to love, care for each other, and love God and worship him. That was it. I'm not here to, we're not put on earth so we can glorify ourselves or be co-creators, as Copeland would say, or Joyce Myers, or all the other Freemasons would say that we're co-creators, or the New Age movements, all the same, just different parts of the buffet bar that they can pick up, depends who it is, what plate they want to pick up. It's all there on the buffet of Satan. There you go. You got everything from Satanism to the emerging Christianity. Take what you want in between. You want to live forever? We'll just follow our doctrine. You can inherit a planet, Mormons. You want to keep going, coming back over and over and over? Although you don't have control of what you come back as. Be a Hindu, Buddhist, or whatever. Well, then how come none of them's solved it? How come that hadn't happened? Where's the Mormons or the Hindu or other sects, whatever they are, that just haven't come back yet? New Age movement. Where's Blavatsky? She's dead. Buddha, dead. Mohammed, dead. They're all dead. Freemasons, you're supposed to die, and then what, you come back? How? Is this kind of like a musical chair where the generation is the one who'll be the saints? Or how's that work now, that you're going to be the saints that you're told you're going to be? The Nexus. Where's the Masons that lived before and hadn't come back yet? It's not going to happen. You're only born again when you take Jesus as Savior. If you don't, it's a choice, and that choice will send you to hell. He wishes that none should perish, but all have everlasting life. But it's based on your free will choice. Going into last week, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Psalms 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Sons of God, not begotten sons of God, but the sons of God of the Old Testament were the fallen angels, high-level angels created by God. How do you do that? I don't know. It's not my business. That's God's business. Next question. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalms 33:9. See, words have power. And by God's word, the universe was created. In other words, it just didn't happen by accident. Oh, creative design. That's the Christianity cop-out. As long as they can say creative design, that's to placate the Christians in preparation for the coming of the alien disclosure or ascended master disclosure. Because they want to say, we are the ones that created you, the ones involved in creative design. That's how they're tricking people. To placate them when disclosure finally happens, when the fallen angels are made public. They'll come masquerading as aliens, as I talked about earlier in the broadcast before this afternoon, or ascended masters of the New Agers. God's the only one who is here. He instructed Moses. See, Moses had no knowledge of science whatsoever, yet he put the Bible together, wrote the first 5 books of Scripture. Of that one, number 1 was Genesis, in perfect sequence of events that had to happen before creation became. Now, there's no way Moses would have done that on his own. It's impossible. He would have got one of the steps. He'd have put man created first. Which that would be like trying to pour your fish into a fishbowl without putting the water or anything else in there. There it is, just flop around. Oh, I missed some water. Oh, Martha, give me some water. Make sure it's the right temperature. Oh, that's too hot. I don't want to eat him. It's not sushi. It's gulpy. It's my pet. No, it's too cold. He'll die from the cold. You see, it's got to be just right. He wasn't ready for it. So you just don't put the fish in the bowl. You got to put everything together first in your aquarium or whatever. And when everything's all done, everything's fine. You got your little sand in there, and you got the little thing that does the oxygen, whatever. You got the right temperature. Then you go buy your fish, and you pour it in. Don't put a piranha in there, please. And so they start, and you start naming the little fishies and all that sort of thing. Well, it's got to be in a certain order. Well, that's what Moses wrote, a certain order. He didn't have any idea about a college course called Earth Science or high school. They still teach Earth Science? Anyway, he had no idea about that. It's a Bedouin, a desert Bedouin, sheep herder or something or another, whatever. But, you know, he didn't know. So he would not have gotten correct order at all. But in the Bible, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, perfect order, perfect description of how this earth was created. Job chapter 38. God is talking to Job. Job's getting a little bit smart on him. And God's going to put Job in it. That's kind of where the scripture's going here. In Job chapter 38, 4, God lights into Job, man. He gets into Job's knickerbockers. He says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. And who laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who had stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof?" Now, can you imagine Job at this time is going, I don't know. And then God slam dunks him with number 7, 38:7. "And when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So when God established the foundations of the earth, his aquarium, he laid the foundation of the earth. And that's when he did that. The angels were watching all this, yeah? And when he finished it, the morning stars, which were angels in this context, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So you have a distinction between morning stars, regular angels, and the sons of God at a higher level angelic being. Now, you'll find if you go to Bible.cc and you put in Job 38:7 and look at how they compare, you'll find they manipulate the sons of God. They don't describe it the same way. They don't like you connecting dots. Now, I go back to Genesis 6:2, 6:4. "When the sons of God took the daughters of man, created Nephilim, they came into them." Now, when people argue that angels don't have sex, then you can explain to me how the sons of God of the Old Testament got with the daughters of men and they created babies. Now, I don't think they had storks back then. I don't think a stork brings a baby anyway. It's kind of like Santa Claus or the Bugs Bunny or, I don't know, some other fantasy. But notice the context here. God laid the foundations of the earth. He laid the measures thereof. The foundations were fastened. And when he did that, the Morning Star sang together. They congratulated him like a mother giving to the baby for the first time. Oh, it's a boy. So they're singing together because he's got his creation of his children to take the place of Lucifer. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. So my question is, there, preacher, that says that the sons of God were the sons of Seth, as the Bible clearly points out here, that these sons of God existed before the foundations of the earth. So the angels in heaven and the sons of God existed before the creation of the earth. How did the sons of Seth exist before they were born? Oh, that's right. Arnold Murray explains that with Shepherd's Chapel, that mankind are angels in drag. Oh, yeah, that's what they believe, that mankind are the angels, and we're special angels that's now going to go through this physical life to up our position in heaven or some nonsense is that. No. No. This is a short time we're on this earth. Your lifespan, it's at the very beginning, they lived to be 900 years old. That was the procreation. Man and woman. Not man and man and woman to woman. That's a no-brainer. If you had men marrying to men in one side and women to women, that's definitely a population destroyer. Because you're not going to have reproduction. So even nature says, what are y'all doing down there? If nature was to talk. Mother Earth is saying, what's going on? Of course, there's no Mother Earth. So even believing in that stuff, it doesn't make sense. No, the sons of God were not the sons of Seth. Because they could not have existed before the earth was created. And the preachers I've talked to, they can't answer that question. They'll argue and say, well, that's the sons of Seth, and this and that. I said, really? What about Job chapter 38:7? They get all busy all of a sudden. Or they get mad at you. Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. People don't think about this. You know why? Because got to go to work tomorrow. You know why? Because I got a two-hour, they'll say I have a two-hour drive, and tomorrow I got to get stuff fixed, or I got to do a project, and before the nighttime I got to drive back, and I got to rest for a while and get up next morning. We don't think about these things. We're kept real busy, aren't you? Aren't you kept busy? Don't you find that kind of curious that you're always busy and in education and philosophy? Just philosophy is what? I imagine that's why one of the reasons we want to increase or make marijuana legal is to increase exponentially the philosophizing. That's one of the ways that I saw college students back when I was in college. Really good philosophers was when they were on dope. Because philosophy is a worthless course, totally worthless. It's chewing gum for the mind. Trying to gain weight by eating chewing gum. Religion, all religion, same thing. So many different, diverse religions. Come on now, can't somebody say, well, you know, even an atheist by the name of Bertrand Russell, even he said, quote, all the religions can be false, but only one can be true. And he's ever so right. For an atheist, he's right on target. There can't be a multitude of religions. It's the same, different. Only got to be one. We don't decide. God will, I tell you what, God, here's the deal. I know you're up there and listen to me, and I want to join this Mormon church, and I want to inherit my planet. You know, I kind of like that idea, you know. So I'm going to join a Mormon church, and I'll put my request in for the planet when I get a high-level Mormon. Or maybe I'll be a Hindu or Mason or something. I believe in reincarnation. I don't want that planet thing. It's too much responsibility. I want to keep coming back and over. Yeah. I like that idea. They just make it up as they go along. But it just so happens that Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell, and Marietta Baker, all these were in touch with the occult. That's a problem. Religion was designed to hide Jesus Christ, including Christianity. After all, the Pope is a God on this earth. Not. They all like to be, though. Science. All science. Nowhere in the Bible did God say to Adam, you'll be the first one to develop a car. It won't be Fred Flintstone. Technology was not supposed to part the knowledge of good and evil. We were created for what? To worship God and love each other. Not have flying machines. But the knowledge of good and evil has been used to entice man and keep him busy all along. And the arts. Harmony, beauty, and the arts. Politics. Oh, do I have to talk about that? Come on now. That's an easy one. And finance. That's the beginning of the mark of the beast. All the way back from the day they first had currency. Satan, very patient he is, knew what he wanted to do but couldn't do it because man wasn't smart enough. So he had to bring up man at some point to have an industrial revolution. The Dark Ages was dedicated to Lucifer until the Bible came out. Erasmus. Uh-oh, I got a short time. I got to start moving. We kind of had an industrial revolution that period of time, didn't we? After the Dark Ages? Interesting. Satan picked it up. His channelers, fallen angels to man, started giving man the ideas of how to develop technology. Man wasn't smart enough. Leonardo da Vinci was an avatar. That's where we got our knowledge. Mankind wasn't that smart, had no idea. But the watchers after the flood, Nimrod, started coming up with the ideas. Little by little, as man caught on, in comes technology. Step by step, war by war, lost soul by lost soul. And busy, busy, busy. Work, work, work. Can't have free energy. J.P. Morgan stole the... Nikola Tesla was a good man. They murdered him. Edison was just full of baloney. Thomas Alva Edison was a liar. He worked with J.P. Morgan, and he worked for Tesla. J.P. Morgan and Thomas Alva Edison stole from the Serbian inventor named Nikola Tesla the inventions. He was channeled. But he wasn't cooperating with the channelers or those around him. He's a Serb Orthodox Christian. Oh, did I mention to some of y'all that in World War II, you might find this very interesting, since Nikola Tesla was a Serb Orthodox Christian, uncooperative with the Illuminati, as a lot of the Serb Orthodox Christians were not cooperative with the Vatican. Did I mention, I think I did, that 1941 to 1945, the Vatican, under administration of Bishop Stefanich, Stepanic, something like that. The Vatican, using Roman Catholic troops, murdered 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians, 60,000 Jews, and 26,000 Gypsies in just one concentration camp called Jasenovac. By itself. I count what Hitler Satan wanted those Serb Orthodox Christians and Jews dead. Used Hitler to kill millions of Jews to find the bloodline of the real 144,000 Hebrew Israelite Jews. To find their bloodline so that 144,000 won't be able to come popping up here about mid-tribulation when it begins. They want to find that bloodline and kill him. But he failed because God is in control. Ustasha had horrified the SS at the cruelty that they did against Serb Orthodox Christians and Jews and Gypsies. 827,000 people in one camp in a 3-year period. I'd say that Hitler had something against Serb Orthodox Christians, wouldn't you? The universe has a delicate balance. All the stars, suns, alleged planets or bodies out there, if you want to call them planets, constellations, family, is all created to service the earth and the earth alone. The incredible design of the body of electromagnetic energy that keeps particles together, the radiation, the plants, the animals, in a steady balance requires perfect alignment, perfect conditions within the universe that affects the planet, which affects life on it, to an incredible balance. The moving of, say, Mercury, or the moving of the moon, would greatly upset life on planet Earth. The changing of position or destruction of Mercury would have an effect on Uranus. The change effect of a sun by the name of Jupiter. Oh, yes, a sun, by the way. It's not a planet. It's a sun. A second sun. That's correct. If it was to get touched off by the gases, say like a couple, about 9 nuclear explosions from the 9 satellites they got surrounding it. Yeah, buddy, 9. It was to touch off that atmosphere and light that sun up, called Jupiter, it's going to affect the gravitation of Mars, which would affect, send the Earth out of orbit, pull Mars into orbit. Oh, they got a plan called the Lucifer Project. Look it up. Now look it up, what these suckers have got planned. Everything's a perfect balance. The constellations were used by man as God had planned for directions, for balance of nature. There's no life out in outer space. Now, if you don't want to believe the Bible, you could hypothesize that there's probably life out there. But you can't have both. Now, theologians today are trying to say, like Pat Robinson, who's a 33rd degree Mason, by the way, that God used evolution. God used the Big Bang, caused it to happen, and all that stuff. It's all starting to slip. Billy Graham believes in aliens. 1997 interview. Family, they're slipping. Genesis 1, as we talked about last week, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We like to think that waters means, oh, you mean the ocean. No. Oh, no, that's the tricky part there. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, and it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God said that there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Uh-oh, now we get the clue here. He He's pushing away waters. Water's up and water's down. Huh. That's not what NASA's been telling us, has it? They also said back in the day in the before 1490s, before that, that you'd fall off the edge of the earth, making sure that there'd be no explorers other than Columbus be the first one. When actually it was Leif Erikson 1,000 years before. The Illuminati goes a long way back in targeting the North American continent as the New Atlantis. Anyway, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Oh, you got a division of water up and above and down below. As above, so below. And God called heaven and the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now that's pretty exact right there, isn't it? So now he puts dry land. He calls the particles, molecules, atoms, whatever you want to call them, all together to form land. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters and the seas. And God saw it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. That way the fruit and the plants had a way to reproduce. God said, let the lights in the firmament of the heaven divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Right there, he tells you what the universe was created for. Why it services the earth. Right there it is. Genesis 1:14 explains. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. That'd be the sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. That'd be the moon. He made the stars also. Oops. Well, there's the universe. He makes a place, and he created the earth first. He divided the waters, created the earth. Then he made the stars later. Then God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And to rule over the night, and over the day, over the night, and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Now there comes the birds and the bees. Well, not the bees yet. Well, maybe. Yeah. Be fruitful and multiply. They didn't exist before that. Now, did they? That's what they try to say about Adam and Eve. That there was humankind created before even Adam and Eve. They don't read the Bible at Christian Identity. And New Agers and others, they're not reading the Bible. Making it up as they go along. Be fruitful and multiply, he said to them. Fill the waters and the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle, oh, here we go. And creepeth things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good. What he created here was what's called the soulish animals. In other words, baby, they got soul. Yeah. Boogie. Those are soulish animals. An animal that has soul. Dogs, cats. That love you, that are there as your pet or whatever. Have personality of sort. That's soul. Called soulish animals. And here we go. In a general statement, making a general statement here, he is, because Genesis 2 gets closer. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Did you know that Benny Hinn, in one of his, I'm not going to play it, but I'm tempted to, but he says in one of his sermons that Adam could fly. If he had dominion over the fowl in the air, that Adam could fly. And the whole congregation, if I'd have been a congregation, I'd been out of there, man. I say, excuse me, I got to go, excuse me. I got to go. Move. I got to go. I'd leave right in the middle of his service. That's what he says. People go right along with it because he says it. We listen to man and not God. Big mistake. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's a general declaration that God's making here in Genesis 1. Go back to 26. God said, let us make man in our image. Our. That's plural. The King James Bible is the inerrant word of God. Our, if I remember my Southern English a little better, our is plural. So is he talking about God and the angels? Host? No. He's talking about the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's see. One, two, three. Yeah. Three is plural. You see, a bit of trivia. We say to y'all down south, y'all, to one person. They leave, we say, y'all come back now. It's like, why are you saying y'all? Isn't that plural? Yeah. And they'll say, well, there's only one of me. No, they're not. There's three of you. And the person don't know will say, what do you mean there's three of us? I'll say, well, you got your body right there. It's talking to me right now. And inside, you got a personality and character. That's your soul. That's two. And then you got your spirit that's connected to God. That's three. One, two, three. Yep. And that is plural. And that means y'all. That's why we say y'all down south. And they'll say in the deeper part of the mountains, when someone dies way up the mountains, they're going to say, what are you going to do? We're going to funeral tomorrow. What are you going to do? We're going to plant him. You're like, plant him. You mean put him? Oh, that's terrible. No. They think planting, what happens when you plant a seed? It grows. Now you see. So in this general statement that God is making, using scientific method, God created man in his own image. Image of God created he him. And male and female created he them. And God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now that's where Benny Hinn gets all wired up. So I guess that means that Adam must have been Aquaman too. Had lungs. Could go down in the water and he could fly like a bird. Oh yeah, he said if he had dominion over the fowl of the air, that means he could fly. I couldn't get over that. Anyway. And here's another thing that Christian identity folks and the others of that thinking process talks to Adam and Eve, say, be fruitful and multiply. Oh, that means that men existed before. To multiply, that means they had some before. They kept some kind of way they word it is just ridiculous. He's telling them, be fruitful. And after you're fruitful, then you multiply. Doesn't mean that they had other beings before Adam and Eve at all. It just tells them now be fruitful and multiply. They had no blood in their system. They had flesh and bone. Flesh in my flesh, bone in my bone. Where's the blood at? There was no blood because we were created perfect. Eternally, they were created until they sinned. When they sinned, their bodies changed. Supernaturally changed with blood. They began to die. They needed the blood to sustain their life. And that's when Eve had to bear children in pain. When before she did not, would not have. God said, behold, I've given you ever herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of this earth, of all the earth, every tree in which is a fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. Didn't say go out and kill animals now, did it? No, they weren't to kill animals then. It was to be then what's supposed to be in the millennium. Aha. How about that? He's going to have it after all, but only after Armageddon. Because the preparation of taking animals for meat came after sin, which allowed them to sacrifice the animals and then not to waste, but to eat or to burn sacrifice. And they lived 900 plus years to replenish, to multiply and replenish the earth. Oh, replenish. Aha! Replenish, that means somebody lived before. No. When you multiply and multiply and multiply, some of them are going to die. Oh, they try every second to try to show that mankind lived before Adam and Eve. They're trying to say here was the creation of man, and then came Adam and Eve in Genesis 2. Man, they're like little Dennis and Minnesis running around, man, trying to mess things all up and not reading the Bible the way it says. And every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for meat, and it was so. He fed the beasts of the earth, every fowl, everything that creeped, food for them also. Vegetarians, all of them. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was a very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, we come upon Genesis 2 in the creation. There's those that say, which is absolutely no scripture whatsoever, that Adam and Eve were the first Jews. Oh, boy. And they keep forgetting about the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham was the first Jew, and let me tell you, he's a long time after Adam and Eve. They try to say that Anglo-Saxon or whatever, not cursed, was created in Genesis 1. And then came Genesis 2, the creation of Adam and Eve, the first Jews. So the Jews are cursed. Oh, I got news for you. You have a lot of deceived people. It's a lie. Total lie. Now you see what's going on? Man, they are really trying to mess people's minds up, and it's working too. Unfortunately. That's where divine appointments come in. So in Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And when he said rested, let me tell you something. God wasn't tired. He didn't go down and say, whew, boy, that was tough. He didn't do that. God don't need to rest. He just says stopped there. That's all that means. He stopped on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Adam did not have to work. Eve would not receive pain while labor. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. It didn't rain down, it rained up from the waters below. Aha! How come Moses might not have written down here, since he wasn't there? How did he know that? How come he would say it rained down on it? That's what he would have said, wouldn't it? Moses would not have figured out that the mist from the ground come up. He wouldn't even have thought about it, wouldn't have written it down. The Lord God formed man. Now we get specific on how God created man. Now this is specifically how. The Bible told you generally how man, the whole creation went over. Now, he gets down to details. That's scientific method. How did Moses know scientific method? Could it be that God led him that way? I tend to think yes. I don't think Moses knew about scientific method. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth. Oh, I read that. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God did not cause it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Because it had to rain down for that to happen. Wow, that's amazing how that worked out. So because the earth was not tilled, he caused it to rain upward. From the mist in the ground to water the plants to give them life. a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. You see, then it was one land mass. And it would remain one land mass all the way past the flood, all the way to the 10th generation of Prelig, 10 generations after Nimrod. The land would be one land, one culture, coming from Adam and Eve. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, now we get specific, and breathed in his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in the Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. You know, there is people out there with more corrupted versions of this scripture. Listen, that the trees were actually symbolic of people. Now, if you go with that thinking and you try to change tree into people by word change program, I don't know. I had somebody that tried to work on me for 3 days trying to get me to believe that. I mean, they did extensive research on it, showing me scripture. I mean, it was scientific, of how the scriptures support the assertion that trees in the Garden of Eden and trees that time was really people. I was like, where do you get this stuff from? Well, this is, and he explained it to me. I said, no. And that taking the fruit, this is what Christian Identity believes, and others like him, that they take the fruit from the tree that Eve ate was sex with Satan. Some say samyaza. And all I can do is sit there and listen to them and my eyes blink like, yeah, right, okay. Tree was Satan, and the fruit, taking the fruit from the tree, was her having sex with Satan. Uh-huh. And that offspring was what, Cain? Oh. And Adam, because he was Adam, his offspring was Abel. Oh. And they were fraternal twins inside the same womb? Yeah. Okay. What have you been doing with those herbs there, fella? You wouldn't happen to have one called marijuana now, would you? Because that's what they got to be smoking to come up with that nonsense. No, the tree's a tree. The fruit's a fruit. The tree. It was a disobedient act that caused the tree of knowledge to give knowledge. The tree of life to give him eternal life was the act of being obedient. It wasn't the fruit composition. It was the act. This tree probably had beautiful fruit. Don't know if it's an apple or not. I have no idea. It could have been a pomegranate. I don't know. Or an orange. Who knows? Or something that doesn't exist today. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is. Oh, by the way, Apple computers, that's what that means. Yeah, a little occult going on there. That by the apple, that's talking about Adam and Eve and whatever. Oh, yeah, that's what Apple's all about. But anyway, the act of disobedience was what cursed them. And when they gained that knowledge, it's gained by the act of disobedience. Because God knew. And this is what he cursed them with. All they had to do was obey him. Both of them failed in what they were assigned. You know that the elite, Illuminati, fallen angels, they're trying to find the real Garden of Eden, to find that rich soil, to think they're going to live forever if they find it. That's a trick, isn't it? Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They think it's either the United States, Eden, or toward the South Pole from the washout. They're trying to find the real Garden of Eden. Oh, that's another story. I'm not going to go there tonight. They want to find that rich soil. Yeah, wouldn't that be a hoot if it was at the bottom of miles and miles of ice, the South Pole? That's where the Grand Canyon came from. Because remember, the whole land was one land mass. There was no Atlantic Ocean separating the continents at all. not till the 10th generation after Nimrod. Genesis 10:25, God divided the land after divided the languages. So you got one landmass. And you know what the scientists say in the history book, in the books? That the Colorado River carved out the Grand Canyon. And there's people believe that. That little river carved out that entire Grand Canyon. Where's those certificates of oceanfront property in Arizona? I still got to sell those things. Y'all believe that? Just contact me and I'll sell you some oceanfront property in Kentucky. Whew. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight, good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden to give eternal life, by the way. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the one they weren't supposed to touch. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Oh, yeah, they take these verses and try to figure out and do whatever to figure out where this Garden of Eden is really at. Doesn't matter, they'll never find it anyway. The name of the first is Pison, and that's which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. They use alchemy, gold, silver, copper, for certain alchemy, learned by trial and error, to open up portals, by the way. Oh, long story. How do we get man to dig this copper, dig this gold, dig all this out? Oh, I know. Satan said, well, we'll have this money, and we'll have it backed by what's ever in the earth. That way they'll dig it up for us. Do I have lights going off? Bells ringing in the heads right now? Now you know the mark of the beast, where it came from. And the way you get wealth is by digging up what they won't dug up. It's put in the ground for a reason. Stay there. And the gold of that land is good. There's beryllium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Kihon, the same as compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. That's where, which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now that shouldn't be too hard to do. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat of, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil they shall not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You see, God had to give them the choice of good and evil, or you would not be able to exercise free will. You had to have that choice. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's the first commandment. It's real easy, actually. Don't eat of that tree. Eat of these, everything else you want, whatever you want. Not this tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So Adam has pretty much dominion, didn't he? Named the creatures. Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, family, they didn't have surgeons back then. Fallen angels didn't create it and then do a surgical process and have in vitro. And none of that happened. But doesn't it sound kind of odd? If you think it was Moses writing this, you say that God created man and he created woman. There's man, there's woman. There you go. No, Why would Moses, if he is writing this on himself, figure out to take out a rib by calling to sleep? He'd say, well, just took the rib out. No, he caused him to go to sleep. Then somehow God, in a supernatural way, took out a DNA from the rib. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, DNA, to literally make him, make Eve a part of him by his DNA. Keep that DNA intact. How about that? And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And this is not rib dating service neither. It's amazing. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Where's the blood at? Oh, there's no blood. Oh, bone of my bone, blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh. No, uh-uh. You think blood would be pretty significant, wouldn't you? And you think since Moses was had blood in him, he'd have thought to put that in there, wouldn't he? He wouldn't have left that out. They didn't have blood through the veins because they were living eternal at that time. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In this case, it was literal. And they were both naked. People laugh when I say that. The man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That's very significant. Because they had not eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they weren't embarrassed. They didn't have the knowledge of sin. Oh, see, I'm not a theologian. So if I can figure this out by reading it, hey, what's going on here? This is simple stuff. If I can figure it out, anybody can. So what's going on? How come people don't read the Bible? Adam and Eve did not come from a lower form of life through the process of evolution. Didn't come from aliens either. The book of Enoch is a testament to fallen angels. 80% pretty much true. Never written by Enoch. And they admit was written in about the first century. Or, well, they got a date for it, but it was definitely not during the time of Enoch. And Enoch was taken three generations before the flood. They won't hear you. They won't listen to you when you tell them this. Everybody keeps citing the book of Enoch. Well, I baloney. It's a testament to fallen angels. They're going to hell anyway. I guess if you're studying it, and if you're careful, I'd pray before I read it, but the book of Enoch puts a curse on the individual. I'm telling you right now, because people get attached to it somehow supernaturally. They will fight for that book of Enoch. They don't fight for the King James Bible. They fight for that book of Enoch. Get all mad at you when you say it's not written by Enoch, even though they know it. Testament to fallen angels. It tells you about them, 200 of them, and all this and all that. Great, whatever. Move on. But the King James Bible is the oldest book on the face of this planet. Because it's a solemn, pure, perfect word of God. If it's a solemn, perfect, pure word of God, that means God inspired it, the man to write it. And God's the creator, watched it all the way through, protected it all the way through. And God is the creator, and that's his word. Guess what? That book is nothing more than transcribed, translated, coming from God himself. That's all it is. Just because they wrote it, or translated it, put it into a book form in 1604 to 1611, so it was already in place in God's mind and God's plans was already done. And it comes from God. God's the oldest there is because he's the creator. That means it comes from God. It's the oldest book there is. Well, there's older books than the King James. That don't work. How they say it down south? That dog don't hunt here. You know why? Because it's not the age of the documents, manuscripts, the books. It's a source of inspiration. They keep forgetting that. I have two names of fallen angels that I can't confirm, but one of them is named Enoch something and something that allegedly, by legend, wrote the book of Enoch. I'm not going to go over that right now. It's not necessary, but I got them written down somewhere, but people get so entwined in this book of Enoch. Almost look at it like it's some divine scripture more than the King James Bible. You know why? One of the reasons why? Because the exoticness of the fallen angels it talks about. It's like reading a Harry Potter book. The King James Bible judges you. Oh, I don't like that at all. It tells me that I'm a bad boy. I don't want to read that. But the big book of Enoch is so exciting to read. Well, let's talk about mankind and their theories. It might take about 30 seconds. First, we came from monkeys, right? So monkeys, monkeys evolved. They show you artist's conceptions of how, a humpback monkey, banana time going on. Okay. And then you show different signs in your books of evolution, how he gets straighter and straighter and less hairier, right? Anybody ever thought that these are artist's conceptions? And that the so-called Neanderthal just might have been an ape or a monkey or something? Or your Neanderthal were the experiments, hybrid experiments of Satan. Because you see, he had no way to predict what his abominations would look like. So by manipulating DNA supernaturally, like they do today also, he had to wait a whole generation to see how the DNA manipulated and then learn by trial and error. Yeah, well, that's where you get your dinosaurs cohabitating with man. Yeah, that's another story. Those like Pat Robinson, 33-degree Masons, are saying carbon-14 dating says, well, carbon-14 dating there, Pat Robinson, is completely inaccurate. It's been completely debunked. Carbon-14 dating is a sham. So we came from monkeys. My great-great-great-grandmother, times 10, was a monkey. Okay. Whoop, not now. They're saying that the origin of man came from worms from Canada. They show you a worm. I kid you not. This is from medical or scientific magazine. They discovered that a worm was the origin of man and a zebra, something like that. I don't know, whatever. Just some ridiculous nonsense. From Canada. Canada. There you go. No longer Africa, but Canada worms was the origin of mankind. You got to be kidding me, but I'm not kidding you at all. And then came another theory, but kind of on the tail end of this worm thing, that the origin of man came from a bacterium of some kind. Okay. Well, let's back it up then, if you want to get all funny about it. You had a bacterium formed by a meteorite. Okay, there you go. And then the meteorite bacterium became a worm. Hey, and the worm turned into a doggone monkey. And the monkey became your great-great-great-great-grandfather. There you go. How's that? That works out really well. Well, there you go. That's mankind's logic. Oh, God has got to be one patient creator. Even though he's the only one. Can you imagine the patience? Whew, boy. We were created to replace Lucifer, who later became Satan. Isaiah 45:12 says, I've made the earth and created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out in the heavens, and all the host have I commanded. And very, very importantly, Psalms 19:1. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You want evidence of God? There you go. It's not about a religion. It's not about a country. It's not about sovereignty. None about that patriotic this, that, and the other, or flag. It's about Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Glory to God in the highest is what it's all about. He wants to bring this country back, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's his business. Because right now we're not doing so well. Ever since 1776. Before that, the earth wasn't either. Only when Jesus Christ returns. No human being alive today, or tomorrow, or has ever been alive, will make the difference. Because they're all going to be judged. If evolution created the man, then how do you explain the systems that make up the human body? Really? You got the circulatory system, which actually we talked about last time that the Bible describes, actually, the wheel and the, where was that? It was the, the golden bowl. Or was that? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 6. It tells you right there. Go to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 6. It talks about it. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, that's your connection, the pineal gland, which is your soul, connected and contained in that gland. That's where your soul resides. And the silver cord is linked as a spirit. You can connect. You can disconnect that cord by your astral travel, and you'll never come back the same again. Or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. He's talking about the circulatory system and the heart. Do a study on Ecclesiastes 12:6 and be amazed on your own. And also in Job, it talks about how man was created in more detail. It's quite interesting, actually. Heart pumps the blood, the arteries and veins transport it. Oxygen-rich blood leaves the left side of the heart and enters the biggest artery called the aorta. How did nature know how to do that? Oh, by its little old self. It gives nutrients and oxygen to the cells and takes in carbon dioxide and water and waste. The blood, which no longer contains oxygen and nutrients, it goes back to the heart through the veins. Veins carry the waste products away from the cells and brings blood back to the heart, pumps it to the lungs, pick up oxygen, pick it up, eliminate waste and carbon dioxide. Wow, man. That's just a circulatory system. I'm not going to go over all of them. We've got the digestive system, endocrine system, immune system, amazing, lymphatic system, and it just keeps going. Muscular system, the nervous system, reproductive system, respiratory system, skeletal system, urinary system. How did Mother Nature know how to do all that? That's just downright amazing. You see, so Genesis 1 was not the creation of man. And then Genesis 2 was in the creation of Adam and Eve. Man was created before Adam and Eve. What about original sin? Did Billy Graham and all the rest of them forget about original sin with aliens or man was created before Adam and Eve and all that? Where did original sin fit in? Can't just let it alone. Can't just erase it with a pen. Forget, don't even look at it. It's still there. It's very key to your salvation. By one man, mankind was condemned forever. By one man, mankind has been saved through Jesus Christ. Now, it looks like we're going to head into part two tomorrow, and I'm going to cover then, continuing on to Wednesday, the three heavens. Now, we've got this far. I think tonight I covered more tonight than I covered Friday. So this kind of sets the stage, and fortunately, we got in a row. The weekend would have caused some confusion. And tonight I did, well, I already said it once, but I'll say it again. I covered some things tonight I didn't cover last time. So tomorrow, part two, we'll move into more of the heavens and mankind's creation and so forth. And tomorrow we'll talk about the third heaven. And, well, there you go. Because this is where it all starts. This is where it all came from. This is more important than Agenda 21. Come on now. I like to bring it home here, you see. Everybody's all worried, discontented, confused, afraid. For what? Greater is He than all the world. You see. So, family, I'm going to let you all know, remind you that we are played up in Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, at highpointradio.net, and John Kirkler, whose email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. And he's also putting in a antenna or a tower every month. We're played simulcast at KBLU Radio in Colorado, Blue Raven Network. And also let y'all remind you that tomorrow, 4 o'clock, when you come in to listen at the broadcast, pass the word, that go into TalkStream Live first, and if you don't see my picture there, put in Thomas Gamble, and it'll pop up, and then you click the picture, and it'll take you into my website, and you'll start listening. We'll see how far along we are. I'm back on TalkStream Live. Hopefully, I'll gain more listeners than I did today. And tomorrow broadcast, I'm going to talk about the Bonus Army in more detail. A bit more of the political issue tomorrow to broadcast. And then, well, actually, today will be part two. Part three of the creation will be tomorrow. That's right. So, all right. So, family, y'all have a good evening. And lament about what we talked about tonight, because this is where it all starts. What's really going on is the most important part. Gold crashing, all this stuff. It's going to happen or not or whatever. The dollar's going to do this and do that. And, you know, World War III, the fake one is coming up. You know, they're trying to keep your minds off of stuff going on. So you don't find out the financial situation and all this and all that to cause fear. It's all because they have fear. You already know the end because it tells you in the scripture. Because see, Jesus Christ is coming back and He's alive. That's what's the most important thing. Everything else will come and go just as the Revelation tells you. So y'all have a great night. God bless. And this is Watchman for Jesus signing off. Sky, guilt and my confusion disappear in sweet relief.
and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Night. God bless. And he'll return to his 24-hour loop. And y'all have a great night. Good night. Signing off.